Well, we probably shouldn't drink so much before doing a podcast, but we've all been drinking. It's a Saturday. It's not our normal day to do this.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
At this point, who the goddamn hell cares? This is the 51-yard line, episode 2-4. As always, I'm one of your hosts, Tyler Berry. To my left, the incorrigible Andrew Willers.
We are who you thought we were.
Oh, yeah, all right. That was a pretty good one. To my other left, the pride of outside Boston, Christian Schneider.
Yo, you come with the king, you best not miss.
I love The Wire.
Hell yeah, right. Dude. Oh, okay. I like that one. That
Omar,
was,
dude.
I don't know how Steve's going to top that one. And to my third left, the king of Lottie Dottie, Fort Lauderdale, Steve Cravens.
I'm too drunk to taste this chicken.
Well, I stand so corrected. Guys, it's been I don't even know.
That was excellent. NBA draft.
Sure. Let's get into that. Let's get into the NBA draft.
While we get the opinion from the guy who got the big one.
Yeah.
Towns?
Twin Cities are going crazy right now. It seemed like we knew this for days that it was probably going to be Karl Anthony Towns. He only worked out with the Minnesota Timberwolves. I read a tweet that said when NBA Commissioner Adam Silver came out to announce that the Minnesota Timberwolves were on the clock with the first pick, Calipari, who was sitting with Towns, just started laughing like crazy. So it was pretty much in the bag.
Calipari was laughing all night.
Well, that is true. Because
Four of his players in the lottery?
The only
one, I mean, four of his players were the lottery picks.
That greasy bastard.
I was gonna say, and then the only one who didn't end up going, or did they all end up getting drafted?
Harrison didn't get.
Oh,
drafted.
That's right. One of the Harrison twins didn't.
Twin goes, and the other doesn't. Sucks to not be a point guard.
Well, that's what happens when you try the one and done thing. But yeah, from what I've read, Towns is the best two way player in the draft. He can shoot threes. He's good on both blocks. He can shoot free throws pretty well. Seems like he was the no-brainer. I don't think this automatically elevates the Minnesota Timberwolves to playoff status. They still play in the Western Conference. That is the toughest conference by far. You still got the Thunder. You still got the Clippers. You still got your NBA champions, Golden State Warriors. But I would expect that they at least double up on their wins total. Barring significant injury, I think they should win at least 30 to 35 games. If they find themselves grabbing another top 10 pick, which they won't because it belongs to the Phoenix Suns, I believe, because they're top 12 protected from, our former general manager, David Kahn, and his brilliance. But if they find themselves in the bottom half of the Western Conference or in the bottom half of the NBA next year, I'm going to be pretty disappointed. I think a good majority of everybody else will be disappointed. But yeah, lots of good things coming. I think at this point, what most people want in Minnesota is they just want competitive basketball to be back. And I think this is the start of that. And then they also were able to hop back into the first round and grab Tyus Jones, Apple Valley native.
That was huge.
I think that was really big because as it stood before the draft, they didn't have a backup point guard. Zach LaVine was taking that role, and as much as I like him and his athleticism, he's not a point guard at the NBA level. I think he's better suited playing at another guard position, and I think having what will hopefully be a solid backup in Tyus Jones will give us the opportunity to see Wiggins and LaVine on the floor at the same time, which I think is what you want if you're a Wolves fan. You want that kind of athleticism to be running around together. Not having LaVine come off the bench and then being a part of the rotation that way. So, long story longer, I think everybody's pretty damn excited in the Twin Cities. And
it should be
good.
For the most part, everything that I've read as far as analysis goes in grading drafts, most everybody seems to have given the Wolves an A+.
Oh, yeah.
So
that was good.
I would completely agree.
So I'm happy with who I got. How about you guys?
Let's just go in draft order. Christian, how'd you feel about your Celtics?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I'm not happy about it. We got Terry Rozier, who I actually watched a lot of out of the ACC. Guard for Louisville. He's a bricklayer. He's absolutely terrible shooting the ball. Here's the problem. He's just like Marcus Smart. He's a defensive-minded, drive-first point guard. And, I mean, Marcus Smart, you know, he put in some good work for us, but not great work. And he's just it's just two of the same guard. It's not very good. Honestly, you know, looking the way this draft shaked out, and we're going to be getting the other side of this in a second here with my man Steve, I would much rather we had missed the playoffs and gotten Justice Winslow. Going to the playoffs and getting swept by the Cavs and winding up with Terry Rozier, I think, is a net loss, and it's frustrating. You know, I know that we tried to trade for the number 9 pick, a lot of future drafts, to take aim at Winslow, who's a stud. I can't believe he dropped to 10. It's frustrating to wind up with Rozier because he just gives us more of what we had. He's not what we need. It's too bad. And it's a step back for a team that I thought made a big step forward last year. So I could be wrong, but I don't like
No, I
Rozier.
See where you're coming from.
I don't
from.
Think he's very good. He's a flawed player. I don't think he's a good pro.
All right. Steve, you were pleasantly surprised with your pick, Justice Winslow.
Steal of the draft.
I was sitting in a van at work. I was waiting for the updates coming on my phone. And I noticed that Winslow wasn't, you know, being taken. And then, like, Knicks went by, you know, Magic went by. And, you know, all these, I was just like, there's no way. Yeah. There's just no way. And then, like, it never really occurred to me. Because, like, all the reports I'd read were that Riley and the Heat didn't even bother to talk to Winslow. Because they didn't even figure he would slip. Like, who would have thought? Seriously, who would have thought? Like, they didn't bother. Like, he's not going to be available. Why are we going to waste our time? And then as soon as he dropped down, I guess Mickey Arison went to Duke. He was waving the flag, everywhere going crazy, and Riley was like, either this is too good to be true or whatever, but Winslow.
Oh, yeah.
They never spoke a word to Winslow, ever, period. The only words they spoke were after he got drafted.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, mind-boggling that he went to, sorry, just to cut in, I mean, they said during the tournament, I remember this, because I watched a lot of the games, and I watched a lot of the Duke games, because they weren't top teams, and people were saying, like, yeah, I know Okafor and Towns get all the hype, why not consider Justice Winslow for the top pick? Like, college commentators were talking about how he should be a top 3 pick, and he went to 10. You guys, man, you guys got a steal. He is really good. He's going to replace Dang. He's going
to... If Dang stays, because, I mean, he can opt out, but if Dang stays, if Wade stays, if Dragic stays, and then you got Bosch, you got Whiteside, and then now you got Justice Winslow and Napier.
Learning from studs, you guys got a good thing going.
Before we cross to my pick, to the Pacers pick, I want to touch on what you just said, which it's something I've been thinking about for a while, but especially after this draft happened. Like, there is not, I don't feel like people put enough emphasis on the smaller guys.
Yep.
In early picks. Totally. I feel like it's, to this day, it's still this somewhat outdated mantra that big guys have to go first, second, third, fourth overall.
Yeah.
And more often than not, it doesn't seem to work out lately. I mean, we can talk to the Cavs come home about how Andrew Bogut has become a decent player, but he was not worth the lottery pick
number one
that he was taken. No.
Took him over Paul. Terrible.
I mean, I guess that's what I just don't understand anymore. And that's part of the reason Steve texted me yesterday and asked me what I think was the best pick of the first round. And I straight up said, I said the Lakers taking Russell
Boom.
Over Okafor.
Yep.
And he asked me why. And I said straight up, because Okafor is a terrible defender.
Yep.
Okafor is a much more high-risk player than Russell will ever be. Russell already has comparisons from a passing skill standpoint to Magic Johnson.
Yep.
Okafor is still like, one, this kid could easily get injured. He's injury-prone. And two, he's one of the worst defenders of our generation.
He's also not a great free-throw shooter either.
Terrible free-throw
shooter.
Also
that. But you could get over that if he could actually play defense, but he's a defensive liability, which means if he's a defensive liability and he can't shoot free throws, automatically he's not in late game situations.
Right.
And how are you going to draft a guy cannot be in late game situations? How are you going to draft that at number 2?
Right.
You would much rather draft a point guard at number two who can distribute the ball, who can shoot when he needs to shoot, who can make his free throws, and who is a really solid on-ball defender.
Mm-hmm.
I just think there's too much emphasis to this day on picking big men in the top five picks. And we can get into it later. We don't have to get into this second because I know you want to discuss it, Steve.
No,
but
I just
why
–
it? Well, I was going to say it's just like it's mind-boggling how the Knicks picked.
Oh.
And well, I knew you wanted to talk well, about that.
I did, but all but, I want to say is when I asked why I asked why is not because I was challenging you or
oh,
saying
no, no, no.
I was asking
I don't
why
mean,
just because I was curious. Because I don't know. I why do you think that?
Oh, yeah. No, of course. I didn't mean it. I didn't mean yeah. it like that. I just meant like you legitimately asked me the question,
yeah.
and I was like, it's literally like this dude, Okafor, could easily be one of the greatest players of this generation or one of the biggest busts in NBA history.
There's no middle ground.
There's no middle ground with this kid.
No, I don't see him being like an average player.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
and I joked last week and I said, well, he's got that the dreaded name of Okafor. Like,
nah.
At least Emeka Okafor ended up being an average NBA player.
Yeah,
I don't think Okafor can be even close to average. He's
right.
either great or he's not in the NBA in 2 years.
Right. Really briefly, you know, the opportunities to gloat at the expense of Duke are too few and far between these days, but I'm going to do it anyway.
You do your thing,
Okafor
brother.
Openly talked about how, like, you know, once the writing was on the wall that the Timberwolves were clearly taking Towns. You know, he had a couple quotes about how, like, you know, how much he was looking forward to being taken by the Lakers. Sorry, bro, you're going to Philly.
Joel Embiid is so happy.
Yeah.
He's not.
Embiid and Noel and Okafor all duking it out for that. It's going to be really interesting to see how that goes down.
It's
going to
be a clusterfuck is what it
it's
is.
It's a mess. I mean, of the three of them, you know.
Shades of Timberwolves point guard issues
mm-hmm.
from a few
right,
years
exactly.
back.
And they got rid of the one guy who was the best. They got rid of Lawson.
Well, not to mention they also passed on a guy by the name of Steph Curry twice,
yeah.
I believe.
Yeah.
yeah. I think yeah. they passed on him
Johnny
twice.
Flynn.
Johnny Flynn.
A name that will live in infamy.
That's
but yeah, I mean, I'm totally with you, Tyler. I love the D'Angelo Russell pick, and from a weirdly like aesthetic point of view, I love this like up tempo, great passing point guard going to the Lakers. Like his game is Hollywood.
Yeah.
It's entertaining. He makes these great passes. He's an incredible scorer. He averaged 20 points a game at Ohio State. I mean, Ohio State wasn't very good this year, so I mean, he got a lot of shots, but. Like, he's a great, great player. I love the pick. And I love the fact that they're not afraid to double down on a point guard, a real floor general. Because that means,
like
you know.
Like Swag Pizzle?
Oh, God. Terrible. Dumpster fire.
Agreed.
But the thing is, I mean, what it means is, listen, I mean, D'Angelo Russell's going to come in. He's going to handle the ball. We're not just going to put Kobe in isolation for his swan song. And I love that because Kobe's been horrible for the Lakers. You know, in terms of the way they're trying to set up their offense, we're not going to watch a triangle. We're going to watch D'Angelo Russell running the show because a real
if the Lakers
like
actually
want to
rebuild, there's no more ISO ball for Kobe.
Nope.
I also think
it's a rebuilding pick, and I love that.
It's fantastic.
This is the first thing the Lakers have done in years that make me think they know what they're doing.
It's like what it reaffirms what I said last year which I think the rookie of the year is D'Angelo Russell because.
Mm-hmm.
No matter
right.
what team
last
he was going to go for, obviously we knew it wasn't going to be the Timberwolves, but those next three teams, the Lakers, the Sixers, and the Knicks, you knew automatically he was going to be their floor general.
Yep.
Which automatically I was like, he's rookie of the year.
Yeah.
It obviously someone could come in and steal that spotlight, but even after that pick, I'm like, it's Russell for Rookie
right.
of the Year. There's
right.
no question in my mind. I think it's a genius pick. I think passing on Okafor is the best decision the Lakers
yeah.
will make for the next decade.
I like it. I like the fact they passed on him. I think it's definitely good.
Cool. Yeah, and then
Pacers.
My boys, the Indiana Pacers, at number 11, we took Miles Turner out of Texas. 6'11", power forward, not a huge scorer, but he's a really good rebounder, and he can defend with the best of them. He averaged almost 3 blocks a game last year for Texas. frankly, I'm excited, but I'm cautiously optimistic, because the reason this pick happened is because the night before, David West opted out of his contract. And if you know anything about me, you know that David West has been one of my favorite players in the past decade for the Pacers. Okay. I think he is a consummate professional. He's a consummate leader. And knowing that he is not going to be on the team next year, which the Miles Turner pick pretty much solidifies that in my mind. Like, Larry Bird knows he's not going to get him back. It stresses me out a little bit. I adore David West. I think he was vastly underrated and has been for most of his career and still is to this day underrated. And whoever he goes to is going to be very happy to have him.
Yeah.
But that being said, I'm really excited about the possibility of Miles Turner. He's not a day one starter. There's no question in my mind about that. He has a lot of work to do. He's got a bulk up, for one.
Yeah, way skinny.
He's 6'11", which means I don't consider him a true center. He's going to be that stretch four. He can shoot a little bit, so he'll be able to get some buckets on the wing, some buckets on the outside. But I don't know. Our front court is going to be suspect next year, because we're probably going to lose Hibbert also.
Yeah.
And we're going to lose West, which means...
brand new.
I mean, it means Turner's going to have to learn from Luis Scola, which I like Luis Scola. I think he's got some really good attributes, but he's not a veteran leader. No. He's not the kind of guy you want your rookie 11th pick first round learning from.
No.
You want him learning from a guy like David West, even to a lesser extent, from a guy like Roy Hibbert, who's been in big-time situations before. So that worries me. That being said, I'm happy with the pick. It was the pick that needed to happen. We weren't going to get Frank Kaminsky, which I'm kind of glad about, because I'm not 100% sold.
I got something on that a little bit later, right, as far as the Kaminsky pick.
Yeah, I'm not 100% on him. Yeah. I don't know if he's a professional basketball player. I really don't. Like I said, I'm cautiously optimistic.
Yeah.
I'm glad we picked who we picked. I understand why we did it. I understand why it needed to be done. But I'm very cautious, simply from the fact that we're not going to have our veteran big men next year. And we're going to either have to go get someone, or we're going to have to let Miles Turner learn for himself, which that worries me.
Right.
But if we can go get someone, if we can go get, hell, maybe a LaMarcus Aldridge.
DeAndre Jordan's available too.
Yeah. If we could go get one of those two guys, we've definitely been looking at both
Greg
of them.
Greg Monroe's also available.
DeAndre Jordan, he'd be a damn fool if he leaves the Clippers, man.
Agreed.
Point guard to get him shots like that.
Hell yeah.
Batum's been traded.
But he also apparently doesn't have a good relationship with Paul.
Aldridge is out. It's pretty much been made clear that he's out.
Blazers,
and
man.
He's talking to the Pacers. So if we could get LaMarcus Aldridge, that would be a huge help for Miles Turner to learn from a guy like LA. So...
question for Steve, really quick on the Justice pick. You've been fretting for weeks, obviously, the Dwayne Wade's decision to opt out. Does this change that, do you think?
Yes.
Do you think that he stays for sure now?
Because
of the shock and the value that he brings to the floor already, and
I think it kind of encourages him to stay more. And also, Pat Riley's pretty much come out and say, like, we're going to do what it takes to keep him. I'm not sure what that's going to entail. I'm not sure who's going to have to
him.
Go.
That's all it takes.
Blowing him.
Well, if they have to get rid of Charles and Birdman, Birdman and Chalmers, that would suck.
Yeah.
I mean, because I love Chalmers. I mean, like, I love
you
that
love
guy.
Birdman,
I
too.
I love Birdman, too. I love that guy. He's crazy. But, I mean, to see them both go out the door to keep Wade, it's your deal with the devil. If you got to do it, if they clear up $9 million and you give that $9 million to Wade and he says, yes, I'll stay for it. Listen, I know what you guys can say. Dude, he's like a 60-game-a-season player at best.
I actually wasn't going to say that. I was going to say it's the right move if you're going to mentor a guy like Justice Winslow.
Have Justice Winslow learn from D-Wade?
Yep.
If the money's right. The only thing that I brought up, you know, Wade is, there's still value in Wade. He's obviously still.
He carried the whole team by himself
He's obviously great. I'm just, the only point that I was bringing up in the last episode was, at what cost? If he's going to suck all the life out of the out of your cap space.
You can't have a Kobe situation.
Exactly. That's exactly
he's
what
the one guy who has never done that ever.
He hasn't. I'm saying this seems like a situation
but it's so
that
tough
has the potential
the dude
to escalate
wants what's
to that.
Owed to him. And
right.
When you've made all those sacrifices, including last year, putting more money on the table so you get, you know, Dang and McRoberts and guys like that. I mean, he's been doing it his entire career. And now, now that he's at the end, he doesn't know how many seasons he got. You know, he's got 11. Now he just wants... Guys, just take care of me. That's all he's saying. He's like, just take care of me.
And there's nothing not fair about that, but what the three of us were saying last week, it's like he played 60 games last year, right? 62?
65.
So he missed 17 games.
Yeah.
I think if you want to safely say he's going to play that again for the next 3 years, $12 million is what he deserves. I love Dwayne Wade. I think he's a great player, and I think he's a great mentor for a guy like Justice Winslow and also a guy like Shabazz Napier. Like, that could be your backcourt for the next 10 years if they do things correctly and if those guys can step up the way they need to step up. But I don't necessarily know that at this point in his career, Wade is owed more than $12 million a year.
Well, that may be, you know, all fine and well, but
because we could start getting into a Kobe syndrome. Here.
No, that's fine. But like, remember, with Winslow, he takes a lot of the load off Wade, so that's also
good
too.
But that furthers my point. It's like if you're taking the load off, then why should you be paying Wade more than 12 million a year?
It's not that you wouldn't pay, but like, exactly. It's good for just to like not play him, you know, 40 minutes a game or 35 minutes a game or how much Spoelstra was playing him towards the end there, but.
If he's gonna play in 16,
I'll give you. I'll drop some news here
right.
From South Florida, straight from South Florida, from the Sun Sentinel. My mom was reading the paper, and apparently Heat Nation is really, really on edge. Like, there are billboards and shit everywhere. Like, people are really
worried
about Wade leaving because he is the pillar of the franchise.
Oh, yeah.
So they want their guy to stay.
Yeah.
Like, the thought of him in another uniform at this stage in his career is just like, what? It's like your wires are getting crossed. It's like you can't fathom it.
Oh yeah, it's like
so.
I really do think
Riley is feeling, no pun intended, the heat from the fans. Like,
sure.
If I want to sell tickets next year, if I don't want to have my fan base mad at me, then we got to figure out a way to keep them. But
at the same time, I feel like that fan base would understand that they don't want Kobe syndrome. Because Kobe has ruined any chance of him finishing his career, quote unquote, on top. Even if it's not winning another championship,
hell,
finishing
playoffs.
His career, getting deep into the playoffs, he's single-handedly ruined that for himself by not taking less money. And get yours, by all means. You're a professional athlete. It could end tomorrow. You don't know. Like I've always been a proponent of that. Like, get yours. But if it really matters to you that much to win, you got to be a bit more like a Tim Duncan, a
right.
bit more open to getting your money in other ways
right.
through endorsements, through shoe deals, through
anything else. And he's
got his
commercials.
Else.
He's got his commercials right. and, his shoes and all that stuff. I just
so then why not just take the $12 million?
He's owed $16 million this season. $16 million for this upcoming season. And
Wade?
Won. Yeah. 16.1 mil for this season.
Right.
And to be fair, like I said, I will never knock Wade for wanting to get his, but if he wants to have another shot at winning,
it just doesn't make any sense. Like, he literally had his house custom built in Miami. He's been there since 2003.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
His wife and kids love it there. Like,
mm-hmm.
I mean, he's an idol there. It doesn't make, like, why? At this stage in your career, what other team do you think is going to offer you more than what the Heat can offer? And think
mm-hmm.
about after your career. After your career, it's been on record that Mickey Arison and Pat Riley have, like, been telling we would love to have you in the organization
mm-hmm.
working, you know, behind the
crew. Yeah, like, I mean, they take care of their guys. Alonzo
yeah,
Mourning.
Look at Alonzo Mourning. Like, we would love to have you behind the scenes. And he's like, well, and apparently Wade's, like, really skeptical. He's like, he knows Riley. He knows Riley loves him. At the same time, he knows he's a businessman, first and foremost. And he is cutthroat. Riley is one of the most cutthroat guys ever. The deals he does and has done in the past. So apparently one of the deals was like, hey, take less money now again, and we will take care of you beyond your wildest dreams after the 2016 season. Take the leap of faith. And he's like, I don't know if I want to do that with you. He's not talking to Mickey Arison, who I've never met the guy, but apparently Mickey Arison's players love that guy. He's a hell of an owner. But with Riley, it's like, we don't know what you're going to do. We know you've got your eyes on big shots in 2016. How do we know you're just going to be like, no, you know, change my mind. We're not gonna give you what you're owed. Get the hell out of here. We're going to take that money and give it to someone else. I don't blame him. And if he does leave, I'll love you forever.
And that's fair, but if he does leave, I don't want to hear a goddamn word out of him. Because if he leaves, if he leaves to go get money to go get money somewhere else, and he bitches because he's not winning, that's why I don't want to. That's why I don't ever want to hear a word out of Carmelo Anthony. He had every opportunity to go somewhere else and get damn near, if not exactly what he's getting paid now, and now he's bitching about what Phil Jackson's doing, and I'm like. Hey, to be fair, you're right. You should be bitching because decisions are being made poorly in that organization. But at the same time, you had ample opportunity to leave, and you stayed for the money.
Right.
You have no one to blame but yourself.
Right.
No, and I was thinking about that the other day. It's like, how dumb does Carmelo feel? How dumb do you feel? Man?
Maybe he does feel dumb.
Maybe he's driving this Ferrari.
No, he feels dumb.
How you had the opportunity?
Because he'll never win a champ. He's done. Bulls. His hopes of a championship are over. They're done.
About the green.
He will never win a championship.
Phil Jackson, man, he doesn't know what he's doing.
I'm
blown away by that.
I said something to Steve yesterday, which I never thought I'd say. I said, "What did I say, Steve?" I was like,
"He's an idiot." Like you just said, like
I said, I don't think that Phil Jackson is in his right mind, and I never thought I'd utter those words ever.
I tell you one thing, and I was thinking of this after the Porzingis draft, which was, I think we can all agree, dumpster fire, horrible.
How are you gonna pass up on Moutier or Winslow?
I don't want to talk shit about the guy. I don't think it's fair to talk shit about him, you know, personally. Because, like, you know, I think now with the chip on his shoulder, like to have your own fans booing at you, I think he's gonna work twice as hard. But you know what?
To hear Phil Jackson say,
"We think he's gonna be big time in 3 or 5 years." You've got guys who are ready.
You got Carmelo Anthony on your team.
You got Carmelo for 3 more years.
What?
Here's the thing, though. You know who looks really good after watching Phil Jackson in action now for a season and a draft?
Who?
Jerry Krause and Jerry Reinsdorf. Because one of the biggest things that happened when the Bulls broke up, like, you know, that whole Beatles-Yoko Ono split they went through, they would not let Phil Jackson have any say in who they drafted and how they handled free agency. He did not have a role in front office decisions. And that's another reason why the Lakers and Phil Jackson split, because they wouldn't let him near the front office.
Oh my
God. Phil Jackson has no clue about that stuff. He drafted a nut job. He hasn't helped be able to hold the team together. These guys Phil Jackson's a good coach. He's a horrible front office guy. And it makes sense now why two different big time franchises wouldn't give him the keys to the car.
Oh, that's so smart. I didn't even think about
that.
That's genius.
It's
kind
of funny to think about.
It's very true.
Yeah. It's also funny to think about because Jordan said he was not going to stay if Phil didn't stay. And now Jordan's doing similar things in Charlotte.
Yeah, he's saying Kaminsky. No!
Wrong.
Jordan can't draft either.
And he's also giving his alternate jerseys the name Buzz City.
Oh, gosh.
That's a ploy. When you're changing up jerseys, it means you suck. I've gone through it a bunch of times in Minnesota sports.
A lot of people have changed.
No, it's exactly what a shitty team does. Good teams don't change their jerseys.
I mean, I'll play devil's advocate and say that the Clippers change their jerseys.
They do look like shit.
Ballmer
putting in the
I think that's
Microsoft
more new ownership,
logo,
so I'll go like with that one. But I think that's a ploy. I think that's the new jersey, new looks in general. You're trying to distract your fan base into like, okay, we suck, but we look better now. Like I've gone through it with the Vikings, the Twins, and the Wolves now.
I'm with you. And I'll tell you, I mean, just building on that, dude, Jordan. I mean, the Kaminsky pick is classic Jordan pick. Like, you look at his history of drafting players. He drafts players who have played well in college and have been there multiple years. He took Sean May and Raymond Felton. Oh, he took Kemba Walker.
You gave away
Napier. Well, okay, to be fair, Kemba Walker was on his way to being a great player, but he was just injury.
No. I got that, but it's a pattern. Jordan follows the old school college style of drafting. More experienced upperclassmen who have done well and had good careers. Frank Kaminsky is not a top 10 NBA pick. I'm sorry.
No, and I was relieved when Charlotte picked them.
Get him out of there. Because
there was rumblings that we were going to take, that the Pacers were going to take him. And
nope.
I was going to be really unhappy about that. I'm so glad that he went off the board when he did.
He's another Charlotte player. He's at the very best, he's Cody Zeller. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Who obviously is a bust.
No, absolutely.
It's just no. And apparently Jordan, really wanted Kaminsky. Like, I was reading this article about how he was, considering trading up for Kaminsky. It's just you've got to be kidding me. It's just a horrible pick. Horrible pick. And I like Kaminsky as a college player. He's not an NBA star.
Speaking of the Hornets, just for a second, I saw something just in passing, and I was at work when I saw it, so I didn't, it just kind of, I was like, what, did I just see that right? Lance Stevenson's on the Clippers now?
Yes. Yep. They traded him for Matt Barnes and...
What? How did I miss this?
Yeah, Matt Barnes went over to the Hornets, and one other guy. Who else did the Clippers send over? It was...
It wasn't Jeremy Lamb, was it?
No.
I know the Hornets acquired him, but I don't know where Lamb was coming from. He got moved
three times. Matt Barnes is the big player, but there was one other player. I think it was I'm gonna kick myself when I figure it out. But yeah, no, the big player was Matt Barnes that they sent over, and it horrible. By the way, I actually love the fact that the Hornets jettisoned him because he was terrible. But the Clippers needed another 3-point shooter, and Lance Stephenson shot 17% from three last year. Terrible.
He wasn't even a starter, for...
No. I mean, great on the Pacers, horrible on the Hornets.
Yep. I'm glad we got rid of him when we did. I was upset. Remember, Steve, I was upset about that trade, but I'm really happy now.
Yeah, you were pretty pissed off. Yeah. I don't blame you at the time.
Yeah. It's just, another mind-blowing move.
That was just one of those things, man. It's like in basketball how, at the time, it's like, are you... What? And then, a year later, less... And you're just like, wow, okay. It's like losing that game to the Bucks, where I was just like, are you kidding? We're not going to make the playoffs because of this. And then we get the number 10 pick, and we get Justice Winslow.
Worth it.
So sometimes, it's just crazy shit how sports works. And mm-hmm. I mean, just how something, 6 months ago, I was like, fuck, I can't believe that happened. 6 months later, it's like, I am so glad that happened.
Yeah, never know.
So there you go.
All right, let's do some trivia.
Yeah.
Sure.
All right, guys. So. Steve, you weren't here last week, but I believe... did you guys both miss the question last week? Okay, so we're all...
No, I think we got it, didn't we?
Nope.
No. Oh, no, you missed it.
We missed it.
You both missed it.
Because it was the most strikeouts
in a no-hitter. Oh, no. Right. You guys both missed the question. Freaking so, Nolan Steve, Ryan. All you guys are still tied. They had a chance to take a lead on you, and they did not capitalize.
Oh, my
fail.
So...
It's the most brutal deadlock since the Cold War, bro.
So, in the spirit of the NBA draft, I'm going to ask you a question about tennis.
You boys are done.
Yeah, I am.
All right. So, question. One of the greatest comebacks of the 1990s belongs to a tennis star who returned to the sport 2 years after being stabbed by a tennis fan. Who is she? Is the answer A, Billie Jean King? B, Steffi Graf, C, Monica Seles, or D, Venus Williams? Put your answers on your phone. One more time for people listening at home. One of the greatest comebacks of the 1990s belongs to a tennis star who returned to the sport 2 years after being stabbed by a fan. Who is she? Is it A, Billie Jean King? B, Steffi Graf, C, Monica Seles, or D, Venus Williams?
It's the only name I know.
Okay. Steve's answer is locked in. All right, Christian, Tits McGee is Drew is
Tits
answer.
Tits McGee. Okay.
All right, guys. Well, one of you is correct. And it would be the man who's laughing right now. Steve, you went with Venus Williams. Drew, you went with Tits McGee / Steffi Graf.
Yup.
And Christian, who got the answer correct, went with Monica Seles.
Oh, yeah,
she was
baby.
She was stabbed by a crazed fan of hers and spent 2 years outside of the sport and made a miraculous comeback in the 90s.
That's pretty sweet.
So the
I've
answer
the
is Monica Seles.
It's
yep.
pretty. They caught it on film.
It's pretty,
pretty horrible.
Huge. It's crazy. Yeah. It's crazy.
Great champion, too.
So, with that, one. Christian has taken his first lead in our trivia contest. I don't even know what question we're on.
I knew I played
high
school
tennis for a reason. I think we're on like 13 or 14.
I'm happy for you, but I hope you get a flat tire on the way home.
Jesus.
Hey, my tires are actually a little underinflated. Don't say that.
Okay. Well, let's move on. Drew, I believe you have something you'd like to get into.
We are sort of in what they call a summer sports abyss.
No.
Basketball season
is over.
As we
say it in Los Angeles.
Sucks.
Yeah, basketball season's over.
Like
NFL,
Steve was on the show last week. He was crying his eyes out.
Yeah, basketball season's over. NFL season's over. So, I thought of just trying to think of ways to spice up
the next
I guess
3 months.
The off season. And if this doesn't work, we can scrap it, dumpster fire, throw it away. But we all love fantasy sports. We all love ripping on those who make terrible decisions and make millions of dollars to mm-hmm. make front office decisions. So, I thought we could come up with something called Keeping It GM. See what I did there?
Yeah. Love it.
Keeping It G, Keeping It GM. You get it. Laugh, Chris.
We got it.
Thank you. So, a lot of this stuff we've already talked about, but basically I wanted to go through controversial front office decisions made by GMs, presidents of blah, 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 put insert sport here, of operations, mm-hmm. and get your takes on what you guys would do if you were in that situation.
Love it.
So, right off the bat, we pretty much already discussed this. It seems like it's unanimous. We'll blow right through it. But the Lakers took D'Angelo Russell. The reason why I brought it up was because, for the most part, it seemed like every time I turned on the TV, it was Towns and then Okafor. Lakers threw in a curveball, went D'Angelo Russell. But it sounds like everybody at this table seems like that was the right pick to make.
I think so.
Does anybody here think that they would have traded the pick, moved the pick, done anything differently with it at all, if you could have?
Number two pick?
If you had the number two pick, would you? If you were Kupchak of the Lakers, general manager, what would you do?
I would have listened very, very closely to what the Celtics had to say, because apparently the Celtics were willing to do all kinds of crazy shit to get up there.
I was going to say, I've got the Celtics will come up a couple more times in this discussion. They were very, very aggressive. And that goes on to, I guess, the next topic. Knicks took something called Kristaps Porzingis, 19-year-old from yep. somewhere in Europe. I have no idea.
And somewhere was, in the Balkans where they produce crap.
Everybody was straight up shocked.
Yep, that was the pick that Christian and I were referencing earlier. It's clear that Phil Jackson doesn't really know what he's doing when it comes to building a team around his star player that he's paying $110 million over the next 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
I understand wanting to build for the future, but that's not why you signed Carmelo to the contract that he has. You signed him for the now, so you pick a player for the now, and New York didn't do that.
Nope.
It's funny you should say that, because the Knicks were supposedly in talks with Orlando, Phoenix, and Boston.
Mm-hmm.
Boston's definitely going to come up again. The Celtics supposedly offered multiple picks, as well as big man Jared Sullinger. And then the Phoenix Suns also offered up Eric Bledsoe, supposedly. It's not also known specifically what Orlando was trying to get done.
Okay.
But if you were the New York Knicks and you had Celtics on line one and you had the Suns on line two offering up what they're offering up, what would you do?
Well, I mean, if I were the Knicks, knowing what the Celtics could offer, I mean, Sullinger or whatever.
Really quick, I also want to note, the Knicks currently don't have a center on contract.
That's my thing. I would have taken I would have kept the pick and just taken a different player. I think, you know, at that point, you're looking at Okafor being gone and Towns being gone.
Okay.
I think for the Knicks, and my friend Josh Cohen, my buddy from college, shout out Josh, he was talking about how much they would love, and I agree with this, Willie Cauley-Stein. Really, really good interior defender, as, you know, two-man tandem with Towns.
So you don't think that would have been a reach at four going with Willie Trill?
No, I don't. I don't at all. I think he'd be very, very good. He can defend literally one through five. He's one of the most versatile defensive players I've ever seen.
I was going to say, we were talking about mock drafts, had them Willie Trill going all the way to the Pacers.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, he's a weird player. He's offensively challenged. He's a very, very strange player. But the bottom line is, I would have taken him. You don't need interior offense. You need a rim protector, and he would be the best rim protector in that draft. I would have taken Willie Cauley-Stein at four if I were the Knicks. I would have kept the pick, used it on him.
Even though you've got DeAndre Jordan, Greg Monroe available in free agency, as well as possibly Marc Gasol.
I don't know if they had a shot at any of those guys.
You don't think so?
All those guys are way too expensive.
They're too expensive.
For
DeAndre Jordan's got no one to get him the ball.
Yep.
You know, Greg Monroe, just no.
And at the end of the day,
Marc Gasol, I don't think Marc Gasol would even consider going to New York. I don't think he wants to jump into that mess out of Memphis. Like,
why would
leave
you?
A contender and go to a piece of crap? No way.
Yeah. I if I were the Knicks, yeah, I would still have kept the pick. I would have done anything but what they did.
Yeah.
I would have taken Willie.
I would have been fine.
I would have taken Willie Cauley-Stein if you wanted a ball handler to work with Carmelo in the backcourt. I would have taken Emmanuel Mudiay.
Yep.
I would have taken Justice Winslow. Anyone but Porzingis, because part of his scouting report is that he can be great in 3 to 5 years.
Yeah.
That's not a top five pick to me. Yeah. That's a second round pick, maybe a guy you catch post-draft who didn't get drafted. That's not a guy you take in the top 10.
Right.
Are you fucking kidding me?
No. Top 4. Terrible.
Moving right along to the big one. At number 9, the Hornets took Frank the Tank Kaminsky. Danny Ainge got on the phone and supposedly offered the Hornets 6 picks total, 4 of them first-rounders. And Charlotte hung on to the number 9 pick.
Yep.
They will regret that.
And Boston really, really, really wanted, supposedly they had every intention of taking Justice Winslow.
Yep.
So if you're Charlotte, you make that deal, right? Like,
yep.
That's
yes.
A no-brainer. 6 picks, 4 of them first rounders.
Yep.
It might be a no-brainer, but that would indicate no one in Charlotte has a brain in their head.
I can't believe that Jordan wouldn't do that. I'm shocked.
I mean,
that means you can literally swing and miss on 3 of them. And as long as you've got the 4th that does something, you've come out ahead.
And here's the thing. If they had kept the pick and taken Winslow, I would have said, okay, they stuck to their guns. Like, they got to play who they like and went with it. Kaminsky's just not the answer. I can't believe that Kaminsky went ahead of Winslow. I mean, that's what I'm bugging out on. I mean, think about it. The Celtics were prepared to throw in 6 picks to get Justice Winslow. The Hornets kept the pick, and they went with Kaminsky. It's just, I mean, it's opinion. The draft is a total crapshoot. You know, you don't know. But you look at Kaminsky's game, I was saying this to Tyler earlier. You know, he's a 6'11 guy who's a string bean. He's got no meat on him at all. He's not going to be able to move anybody in the post, so he's going to get pushed off the block repeatedly. Yeah, he can shoot an elbow and 3 a little bit, but not enough to be a consistent threat.
He's a poor man's Dirk with 2 less inches.
Yeah. And, you know,
and 20 less pounds.
Right. And he's perfectly adequate. He was a good defender in college, but you don't need strength to defend in college when you're 6'11".
Absolutely.
I don't see... He's not a rim protector.
Oh, God, no.
Not at all.
Oh, not
I mean,
even
it's
remotely.
Just, he's just... him and Cody Zeller are going to be, you know, looking at each other in Hornets practice like, where did we go wrong?
Well, and that's like,
you know?
I mean...
Horrible.
Who's the other starting big man for the Hornets?
It's Jefferson.
I can't.
Right?
Oh, Al Jefferson. Yeah.
Oh,
that's what it
God.
Is. I read a tweet that said Frank Kaminsky, Al Jefferson equals slowest front court in the league.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, they're not going to be
wrong.
Able to get up and down the court. Regardless of if Frank even could protect the rim That dude is slow.
Yeah, it's not.
They went all wrong with that pick. I was a huge proponent of Frank Kaminsky in college. I thought he was a great kid. I thought he was a great player. A really fun personality to have in the college game, but none of that equates to a lottery pick to me. None of that equates to a top 10 pick. None of that equates to a guy who is going to help carry your team to hopefully making the playoffs.
I mean, a little different. Yes, I mean, he's got a couple of – I mean, he's bigger than Hansbrough.
No, I guess as far as overall assessment of what constitutes a lottery pick.
I'll tell you this, though. I mean, like, you know, I'm about to toot the Hansbrough horn here because I love the guy. But at least Hansbrough is a worker. You know, Hansbrough, well, even though he's not that good, he's a scrapper. He's a guy who's going to come in and give you, you know, when he's on the court, he's going to be 100% effort.
Frank feels a little lazy to me, to be honest.
I agree with you. I mean, there were times against, you know, in big games where I felt like, you know, Kaminsky's
times
not.
Times against Duke and in that the
was,
championship.
That was the biggest thing. I mean, when Okafor was on the bench, you know, with foul trouble and Kaminsky didn't take over the game, I was just like, how badly do you want a ring, man? I mean, come on. It was, yeah, I got doubts about Kaminsky.
To me, the Wisconsin player that was a better pick was Sam Dekker.
Yep. I like that pick better.
Where did Dekker end up going?
Dekker wound up going to, he went in like the mid-teens. He went
Didn't he go like 15?
I think 16?
16?
No, 16 was the Celtics. Yeah, he went like 15. I think he went to, oh, I'm going to kick myself.
I'll look it up.
Would you have been cool with
I think it went to the Rockets.
If you were a Celtics fan, would you have been cool with that pick?
Dekker?
Yeah.
I would be cool with Dekker over Rozier, for sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. Because he's a wing, and we needed wings.
Absolutely.
I would have taken Dekker over Rozier if the opportunity presented
itself. Dekker went to the Rockets.
Rockets, yeah. I gotta say, that was a good pick. I like that pick.
I like that pick, too.
Because they need a younger shooter. Yeah.
Anything else on that?
Well, actually, I got a question. Biggest winners, biggest losers of this year's draft?
Biggest winners of the Heat. You guys, man.
Yep.
Getting Winslow at 10. Biggest winners.
I think we've already answered these questions.
It's like, but biggest winners.
I think the losers are the Hornets and the Knicks.
But what I meant was like the top three winners. Top three winners, top three losers.
Okay.
Like, who are the guys that lost the most, in your opinion? And then who are the guys who are like, you know what, good for them, they're going to.
Winners
on paper. It sounds like
winners for me. Heat, Lakers, resisting the Okafor pressure, and
I can hit the homer button, but I would agree with both of those, and I throw in the Wolves.
It's Wolves, yeah, I absolutely feel like we
gain more.
Getting Tyus Jones,
two huge positions of need. Both of them hard workers. I mean, I understand. Like, I'm not saying Tyus Jones automatic. At the end of the day, kid was first team all freshman, and he was also the MVP of the Final Four.
Yeah.
So
but it's I think at the end of the day, when you get a hometown kid, he's gonna work that much
absolutely
harder.
Yeah. Apple Valley was apparently going absolutely bonkers. Yeah. But those are the three I would say what I know, what I understand.
I would agree.
Losers then would be Knicks, Hornets, and
Sixers.
I would say Sixers.
Yeah?
I say Sixers getting Okafor because they've got this clusterfuck
interior players. Well, they do have Embiid and Nerlens Noel.
It's bizarre. It's a mess. They're going to lose somebody who's a valuable asset because I actually think Nerlens Noel is going to be a good pro. You know, he was looking up before he got hurt. And, like, you know, I think he's good. I think Embiid, you know, obviously he's got problems. But it's just basically what it means is the Sixers have used, I mean, I can't remember exactly where Noel went. He was at least top 10. I think he went sixth in his draft. That means they burned three top 10 picks on guys playing same position.
That's a good point.
And
that's a really
someone's got to go because they're not going to keep all three.
Yeah.
And,
I wonder if it's telling about how serious Embiid's injury is.
Yeah, I think it is.
It could be. Yeah.
Which is a tragedy because, I mean, I think Embiid had a crazy high ceiling. But I put Sixers in that bunch.
I got nothing more as far as that. But as far as moving away from the draft and onto just like trade talks in general, Lakers are making a strong push to try and grab Boogie Cousins. There's a lot of crap going on in Sacramento right now. George Karl wants him gone. Yep. Ownership wants him to stay.
Ty
Ownership
Lawson wants smoking George a hookah Karl and gone. Talking about how he's going to Sacramento.
Absolutely. So if you were, again, Mitch Kupchak, and you're trying to acquire Boogie Cousins, what are you willing to give up to get him if you really want him?
If I miss Mitch Kupchak?
Yeah.
Kobe. But, I mean, yeah. It's because I'm a, you know, New Englander. But,
no, I feel you.
But, I, you know, it, that's interesting because it's tricky with Cousins because in a vacuum, just pure talent and potential-wise, he's a really good player, but he does have character issues. That's why George Karl, yes. who's a real old-school coach, mm-hmm. doesn't, you know...
Karl doesn't like him.
He doesn't
like him.
Well,
it sounds like, from what I know about...
I mean, Cousins chased Westfall out of town. I mean, he's got problems. I mean, he's not as bad as people thought, but he is a character issue guy.
My whole thing is, I don't know... unless it's cash... The Lakers don't have anything to trade.
They'd have to trade for half their players to get Cousins.
Half their players and half their draft picks for the next 3 years, which I just don't.
Yeah, it's.
I don't think I like Boogie. I really think Boogie has a higher ceiling than he does a lower floor.
Mm.
I think he still has the potential to be a great, great player.
Oh, listen,
if he
at
gets
the very
his
least,
attitude
he'll be good.
In check, yeah,
yeah.
But I don't. The Lakers don't have. Any pieces to give up for him, realistically.
Yeah, it's yeah. That's the thing.
You cannot give up your first round pick.
It's got to be cash, yeah. And that's it. It's just it's weird. I know the Lakers are looking at him, but I don't know who on earth they'd send over to Sacramento because
you'd have to go
this roster.
You'd have to go.
Oh, yeah.
You'd have to go Swaggy P. You'd have to
Please God.
You'd have to go your 20s.
Terrible.
You'd have to go
the original dirtbag.
And I'm legitimately just spitballing here, but like if you were gonna get Boogie Cousins from Sacramento out of Sacramento's ownership, which they are in love with him, you'd have to go Swaggy P. You'd have to go your 2016 first round pick, your 2017 first round pick, and possibly your 2017 second round pick.
Yeah, and I mean, like, as far as.
And are you really going to risk that for a guy who throws temper tantrums on a regular? Like, I don't see it.
What I will say is, I mean, you know, obviously we just kind of slammed Boogie a bit for his character shit, but at the same time, it's not like the Lakers are risking anything. The Lakers are horrible, and he's a great player. So, I mean, even if he does throw temper tantrums, put up with it. It'll get you at least 10 more wins than you had last year.
But are you sure about that if you have to give up Swag Pizzle for him? Because as much as I don't like Nick Young, he is your main scorer right
now. I absolutely despise Nick Young. I think he might be one of the worst basketball players in the NBA. He's a ball-dominating,
and yet he still
lazy,
averages. He still gets
stupid.
20 points a game.
Yeah, watch his field goal percentage. Watch his decision making.
I am not disagreeing with you in the least. But who
you throw the
gonna,
ball at the hoop enough, it's going to go in.
But who's
you know?
Going to pick? Right, but
it's like,
all
he's
you're
terrible.
Doing, all you're doing by
and
getting
so is his
Boogie,
girlfriend's music.
All yeah, all you're doing by getting Boogie for him. Is swapping one for the other, and Boogie has worse free throw shooting than Swag Pizzle does.
Wow, I think you're giving Nick Young a lot of credit. There.
I'm giving him enough credit to the point where it's like, do you really want to give up him and two first round picks for the next 2 years for Boogie?
What you described, I would do. I would do that. I don't know if
you
the,
would do you
absolutely.
Okay. So
I don't know
for
if the
Boogie,
Kings
you would
go
do,
for that.
You would do but. Nick Young. You would do a 2016 first rounder, a 2017 first rounder, and a 2017 second rounder for Boogie Cousins.
Yes, I would. Knowing how free agency is going to shape up, knowing how Kobe's going to be done in about a year. Yeah, I would do that.
So Boogie is your rebuilding piece. That's essentially what you're
put
saying.
Put him and Russell together? Yeah, I like that. I like that. An interior and a point guard. I like that.
That's
I would do that
so
deal.
So much to give
It's
up.
A lot, but I do it. I do it.
How old's Boogie? 25?
Tops. I mean, no, he's less than that. I mean, 24? he was a one and done-er coming out in 2010. I mean, Boogie's 23, 24.
Okay. How old's Nick Young?
Nick Young? He's older than that. Nick
yeah,
Young was
25.
26? I'd say he's older than that. I'd say he's like 27,
28. Okay.
Yeah, the Sacramento Kings.
I just don't know about giving
listen,
up that many first
I'd be round shocked picks if on. George Karl would want Nick Young. I mean, if he doesn't like Boogie, he doesn't like Nick Young.
George Karl, but there, I would be shocked. George Karl might not be the coach this year.
Boogie
like,
Cousins is 24 years old.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so 24, that's not bad at all.
Not bad.
That's really, he hasn't even hit his ceiling yet.
Right. And he also, we're saying, he's never had a guy to really get on the ball. I mean, what, Tyreek Evans? I mean, no.
Isaiah Thomas?
No.
No.
No, I mean, I love Russell getting, the more I'm thinking about this, the more I like it, actually. D'Angelo Russell getting the ball to Cousins, I love that.
Here's what I could see where that makes sense. You trade Nick Young, your 2016, your 2017 first round picks. You get Boogie. You've got D'Angelo Russell. If you can somehow lure away either Russell Westbrook or Kevin Love, that's when the pick makes sense to me. But if you can't lure away either of those guys that can help your team right then and there, I don't see how the Boogie Cousins trade makes any type of sense.
We'll see. I mean, listen, it's a risk, but I mean, it's a risk that I would run as a general manager of the Lakers right now.
Okay. Because
they're so damn bad, and they have an opportunity to get a good player. I mean, listen, if I were weighing Boogie Cousins against Russell Westbrook and Love directly, no, I probably wouldn't.
Oh, no. But, of course. I'm saying, like, that trade would make sense to me if you could somehow get one of those guys off of free agency.
By the way, though, another thing that, sorry to jump in, a little bit of a tangent. Having D'Angelo Russell, what does that mean for trying to get Russell Westbrook? I don't know if they're going to do it. I don't see Russell Westbrook sharing the backcourt with a pure point guard.
Could make it easier to get Love back home, though.
Maybe. I mean, and I actually would love the combination of Love and Cousins.
Wow, that's really interesting.
I mean, they're both head cases, but if Byron Scott can find a way to make them both happy, I mean, a lot of cocaine.
So you don't think Russell Westbrook could work with a pure point guard like D'Angelo Russell?
No. I mean, here's the thing. They did something like that when he was in college at UCLA. He played with Darren Collison.
Right.
And it didn't really work.
I remember Darren Collison well.
Darren Collison is a very good point guard at UCLA, but I mean, not a great pro. But he was a very good UCLA point guard, and Westbrook couldn't really flourish because I mean he's got to dominate the ball, and it's a weird system. I wouldn't combine Russell and Westbrook.
That's 2-0.
That's actually kind of funny, Russell and Westbrook. But
that's 2-0.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is funny actually.
Yeah, 2-0.
Is that all you got, Drew?
I guess if we're running a little bit short on the time here,
we're definitely not. We're running long.
I also wanted to. If you wanted to talk about it, Roy Hibbert trade rumors. He opted back in, but supposedly the Pacers are going to shop him. What would you, if you were to trade him, what would you want for him? If you have anything really quick,
I would put him on a ferry and send him to Maccabi Tel Aviv.
Yeah.
Terrible.
I
obviously you got a big man now that you like. Obviously, a little bit of a project, not a center, but yeah.
I would love to send him to Portland. I would love to get LaMarcus Aldridge in return. He's already a free agent.
Yeah, you'd have to send something more than just Hibbert.
Oh, I know. I'm just saying, like, before Hibbert even signed his max contract with the Pacers, there were rumblings that he might be looking that Portland was looking at him, and that was true. It didn't happen, obviously. If we could send Hibbert and I don't know Rodney Stuckey, if we could send those guys, package them and get LaMarcus Aldridge.
Aldridge and a healthy Paul George is awfully dangerous.
Aldridge, Miles Turner, a healthy Paul George, Luis Scola.
I think you're right back in the mix as far as East Philly.
Still need a rim protector, but
true. But you also you also got to think about who's going to be Luis Scola.
He can protect the rim when he needs to. He's just not a starter.
No.
Too, so. He's just not a he's not a 37 minute rim protector.
He's
so.
Playing 37 minutes. You're winning 25 games.
Agreed. So, yeah. I don't know. Roy Hibbert is the big wild card right now.
Sure.
I'm not convinced that I want him to stay, but I'm not convinced that I want him to leave either. Because at the end of the day, he is still a good rim protector. Man. He just can't score worth a goddamn shit anymore. I don't know. I can't make a conscious decision on that one way or the other.
I did have some NFL topics, but if we like this particular ordeal that I got started here, I can save them for next time.
Save them for next time. For I do sure. like this. I want to finish quickly on Women's World Cup since that's going on right this second. Christian, I did not get to see the game yesterday, unfortunately. I was lucky enough to have you giving me up-to-the-minute updates while I was on my way home from work.
My pleasure. It was like I was actually watching it with someone.
It was pretty great. I was really happy to get those updates. What did you see yesterday that you liked, and what did or didn't you see that you disliked? Because it did not sound, based on what I got from you, it did not sound like our Americans were dominant on the offensive side of the ball, but it sounded like we could not be stopped on the defensive side of the ball. So what did you see? What didn't you see? What do you want to see on Tuesday?
So here's the deal. China was the opponent yesterday. China is a young team, very good defensive team, and basically what they did was they parked a big old Greyhound bus right in their third of the field. And for Drew and Steve, park the bus means that it's basically they basically did a Tony Bennett ball. They sat back, packed it in, and just played defense. Basically, they played to try to get to penalty kicks, and because they figured the best way to do it is go scoreless tie, penalty kicks, or a lottery, and they try to get to that. The U.S. played their best game of the tournament so far. They looked great. They were really good.
I read that.
Yeah. No, it was very good. You can read, bro.
That's what I do.
Hey.
Abby Wambach dropped an F-bomb.
Yes. No, that was
tingle and majangles when
great.
She did it.
You know, it was very, very good. No, so U.S. played the best game of their tournament. It was interesting. Two of their midfielders, Megan Rapinoe and Lauren Holiday, had both received two yellow cards early in the tournament.
Megan Rapinoe, I love you.
Yeah, she's great. Most entertaining player on the team.
Yep.
They had to sit. So they brought the U.S. brought in, they made three changes. They sat Wambach out, and they brought in Amy Rodriguez to play striker along with Alex Morgan. Good move. At first I had my doubts about it. Amy Rodriguez.
That first shot that she had one-on-one was the worst thing I've ever seen.
She had the worst shot in the history of soccer in the first minute.
Yep.
That was horrible, and I was like, oh my God, this is a disaster. And then she promptly played a great game. What the U.S. did was they pressured the Chinese defense and kept them on their heels. And Amy Rodriguez is very fast. That really helped to do that. Wambach is a great heading player, but she's slow. They also brought in Kelly O'Hara and Morgan Bryan, both of whom did a really good job. The U.S. just were really, really in sync. They did a really good job. Their midfield played better. And in the end, but basically, you know, China just put 11 players behind the ball. What that means is all they did was play defense. They didn't try to attack. It took the U.S. forever. They didn't score at halftime. And then what Drew's alluding to, Abby Wambach was given the pep talk right before the second half started. She goes, the first 10 minutes of this half, we got a fucking goal.
Fired me up.
And they promptly did it. They did it. They scored 5 minutes in the second half.
Carly Lloyd,
big-time player. She's a streaky player. You know, when she's got her confidence down, she's not good. But she scores big-time goals. She's won both of the last two Olympics for the U.S. off her goals alone. Big header, they scored, they kept the pressure on, they did a great job.
Wasn't that assisted by your future
My
wife, Julie
future
Johnston?
Future wife, Julie Johnston, who I do want to talk about. The best player on the U.S. team has been Julie Johnston.
Yes, sir.
I think she's 22, 23. She's out of Santa Clara. 6 months ago, she was the third string center back. So basically what it means is she's supposed to be riding the pine pony this whole tournament. An injury happened, and she also won out for the spot. She's been the best. She's a complete beast.
Yep.
She's the reason that the U.S. back four have been incredible. The U.S. defense has not allowed a goal in 423 minutes of play, which is unbelievable good.
She's fantastic when it comes to marking.
Yep. She marks. She's aggressive being a target for set pieces. She runs all the way up and tries to score corners.
She's also got an insane cross.
Yep.
She crosses with the best of them.
Really
sure.
good. Really
And that's
good.
What led to the Carly Lloyd goal from what I saw from the
She had the assist
the
on that.
Yep.
She crossed it in from about 40 yards out. Perfect.
An absolutely beautiful cross right to Carly Lloyd.
She had the coolest play of the whole thing that I texted Tyler about for my updates. She had to clear. China had like a semi chance. They had one of their defense attackers going in with her spikes up. Her cleats were going up. Johnston slide tackled under her. Basically, she almost got spiked in the eyes by the attacker, but she didn't move her head. She actually followed through on her cross, and it was like she didn't care. She just plays fearless soccer. It's really cool to see.
And Christian just texts me and goes, "Dude,
Marry Julie Johnston, and also
she can ride your pine pony,
and be
oh god,
and also be very nice to her because she's clearly a lot tougher than I am.
She's a
awesome.
Badass for sure.
And here's the thing, they're gonna need her because
that was gonna be my last question before we get out of here is Tuesday. What happens Tuesday, Germany? If you didn't see the Germany-France game, France had that.
Had them.
Had it. And Germany was able to score.
France got a handball in the box, and Germany tied it with a penalty kick.
An absolute bullshit.
And then won it in PKs.
It was a bullshit handball.
I mean, it was the right call, but it was like she reached
out.
Was
it, though?
Yeah.
I don't know that it was. It hit here.
You hit the arm, it counts. The thing was she extended her arm. If your arms are by your side, it was close, I guess.
I don't know. I would still argue that that's not a handball. Yeah. But regardless, it happened in the box. Yeah. Germany scores. They go into extra time.
And then
nothing happens. And then they go into PKs, and Germany wins 5-4.
Right. And so now we've got the United States playing Germany. Germany is ranked number one in the world. U.S. is ranked number two. And these are
game of the century right here.
Awesome, awesome, awesome matchup that we're getting right here. And
what time's the game on?
It's a 4 o'clock.
4 o'clock
our
Tuesday.
Time on Tuesday.
I'm not going to be able to watch it. I'll
hit you guys at the updates if you want. I'm going to be at the American Outlaws Bar in Universal City.
Before we get out of here, I want to make something clear. There has not been one United States Women's World Cup game that I have gotten to watch because they are during the weekdays at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Can we not do this shit,
dude,
please?
Dude.
Can we have at least one group stage game and
prime
either
time.
The round of 16 or the quarterfinals?
Yep.
Can we have that shit on a Saturday or a Sunday, please?
If we win, we play on Sunday.
Hey, I got
championships on Sunday, but we got to win. We got to beat Germany. But I'm with you. It's horrible.
It's
the
ridiculous,
timing.
Dude. Like
horrible timing.
How
do I not get
either.
To watch one World Cup game with our team in it?
I know
it's
screwed
ridiculous,
up. And it's rough that it's on Fox as well instead of ESPN.
And there's also
Fox. Well,
don't get me started on fucking Fox Sports
like,
One fucking
it.
Right. Oh yeah,
makes me fucking annoying. Dude.
I'm with you.
So
I'm
annoying.
With you. But yeah, so USA Germany. Germany is the best offensive team in the tournament. U.S. is the best defensive team in the tournament. Germany's averaging 4 goals a game, which is far and away the best. The U.S. hasn't allowed a goal in 420 minutes. So something's got to give here. It's going to be a big question to see what lineup we put out there because our lineup, which was an accident, we had to put in subs because of the yellow cards, worked out the best. So do we put Rapinoe and Holiday back in? Do we put Wambach back in because we need the heading option? It's interesting.
My call right now is that we put Rapinoe back in.
Rapinoe's going back in.
Rapinoe will be in because she's our leading scorer. Wambach will not be in.
She shouldn't be. I agree. And I would agree. If
Wambach is what we need late in the second half. If we need a push to get a goal at the end.
Wambach,
if we need to send someone into the box for crosses.
Right.
Wambach will be that person, but she does not start on Tuesday. I call it right now.
I got to say, this is going to be a really good game because Germany's awesome. I think our defense is really going to be tested. The person who I'm wondering about the most, though, is Hope Solo because Hope Solo has not been tested because our back line has been so good. Hope Solo hasn't had to really do that much. Our back line is awesome, but Germany's going to get their looks. They have an explosive offense.
I will say it right now. Germany will score.
I've been thinking about this. Here's my prediction. I think this game finishes at 1-1. I think Germany scores. I think the U.S. scores. I think it goes to penalty kicks. And we got the two best goalkeepers in the world. Ongerer for Germany, veteran player, The Rock, saved their butts in the game against France, making the final save that clinched the game, and Hope Solo. I think the U.S. wins in PKs. And I think everybody, for at least an afternoon, forgets about Hope Solo and all her bull crap because she will bail this out. I think the U.S. wins this thing in penalty kicks. But is going to take some doing because Germany is really good.
I was going to say, I think U.S. wins 2-1 extra time. I don't know if it goes to penalty kicks.
Yeah, okay.
I think U.S. finishes it off. in extra time.
But whatever happens, it's going to be a classic. And my guess is whoever wins this game wins the World Cup.
I'm not going to lie. I may try to take a half day on Tuesday just to watch that game.
Hey, man, come with me, dude. I'm going to go. I'm going to be at the Universal City Bar called the Man Cave. It's an American
No!
Oh, dumpster fire.
Don't go there.
What's wrong with that?
It's the worst bar we've ever been to.
That was terrible.
Really?
It's awful.
Maybe I won't. Maybe I'll find another place.
But Drew did have a pretty great quote when we were there.
Damn, that was an extreme reaction.
Pete Carroll's an asshole. Richard Sherman's a dickhead.
I did say that.
That was at the Man Cave.
That was what I said.
It was at the Man Cave.
Yeah.
I believe that we will win!
Boom.
All right. Wow, we've been going real long. All right, let's get the fudge...
I like that.
Fuck. Out of here. So, this has been the 51-yard line episode... I don't know, 24. Yeah, episode 24.
Nice.
Yeah, hey, look at that. We're
you got it.
Yeah, shut up.
Hey, same number as Darrell Revis. Oh,
that sucks.
Anyway.
Oh my God. So for that guy over there, Steve Cravens.
Welcome to Heat Nation, Winslow.
For Christian Steiner.
Let's go beat the Krauts.
for True Willers.
Coral. Oh my God. That was terrifying.
Oh, my God. I hate everyone. Yeah, I'm Tyler Berry. Miles, welcome, buddy. We'll see you soon. And what's my sign-off?
We'll see you next time.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. All right, so for all those guys, I'm Tyler Berry. We'll see you all next time. Bye.
Bye.
You stay classy. See you.